Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Pints and Pairings. I'm Curtis Taylor, also known as Hot Beds Ed.
And I'm Jason Hendrick, a.k.a. the Hungry Man from Everybody's Hungry.
We are looking to explore the BJCP category, English Brown Ale. There's three kinds of these. There's the mild, the southern, and the northern. Just in case I want to make sure everyone knows that we are in fact going to open up the Newcastle, which is a northern English brown. The other two, the southern and the mild, are really, really hard to come by. However, more and more American brewers are starting to brew milds, which is it's a wonderful thing. Our local brewery, Surf Brewery, they have two different milds. They had a regular one, and they had this a dark one. And, you know, these beers come in at 4%. And
Which we love.
Right? A true session beer. Full flavor, full mouth feel. It doesn't seem like you're drinking water like it can when you're drinking some other American 4% macro beers.
Yeah, I'm not sure about those.
So it's a wonderful thing that we can get milds around here, because for a long time, unless you were in England, you weren't getting it because they can't be shipped. They don't have the alcohol. They don't have the hop flavor profile or anything to keep them from spoiling on a boat ride from England.
Yeah, we've talked in the past about how long it takes for those boats to get across the ocean. And technically, they're a ship. And you don't ship anything that's going to be needed overnight. It's just, I mean.
But you don't put it on a cruise ship. Well, yeah, because then, you know, especially the ones that come out here on the West Coast, those beers are going through the Panama Canal and then coming up this
down side. Around.
Right. Man. You know, it's not like they're getting off in New York and then catching a plane over here. No, they're either going through or going all the way around, even maybe backwards around. Who knows?
And I'm curious about any other history you may have about these styles, because it sounds to me like some potential regional conflict. If we got a northern style and a southern style, what came about? Why are those two separated?
You know, I should have done some research on it. I've just taken it for what it was, and like,
which is okay.
I'm not. Yeah. It's a, now, if you
for historic, infringing upon your Cicerone status or anything, to know the difference between those two,
right? Well, if it was IPA or pale ales, then I've got some sort of, I don't know, flavor interest in them, you know. And so I tend to do a little more research on things that obviously that I'm more interested in. Imagine that. So one of the things, like, everyone can get Newcastle pretty well anywhere. This is on tap, in your brewer, at your own beer bar, you know, wherever you're getting it, your beer store, those kinds of things. We have the traditional glass bottle, clear glass bottle, that you'll see all over. One of the things I always want to point out to people when they see that is that if you're getting a clear beer, no matter if it's a Corona or if it's a Newcastle, you want to try and find the ones that have not been sitting under the UV lights, because these can be skunked. And I did
we're talking back to the shelf style.
Right. And I did a test on these to see what these would taste skunk. So I had a bunch of clear bottles. I had a Pilsner. I had this brown, and I had another one. I can't remember. But I wanted to see what the skunked flavor was for all three of these beers. This one was the most vile skunk that you could even imagine. It was horrible. So you'll know if you get it in, because it's not like a Pilsner or a Kel or something where you open it up and it smells like skunk, but this one was just—it was like rotting skunk. Well, I mean, it was horrible.
And I really like Newcastle. I want to make sure, in case anyone from Newcastle is listening, to get it out in the front that I like Newcastle. However, even cold, when you take a good whiff, there's an underlying tone there. There's a little bit of something that you know, a significant corn and wheat kind of note, almost, especially on the palate, a little bit of ginger maybe. That I could see turning very easily with the wrong environmental conditions.
Right. Let me back up one step too and say that I did it on purpose, because I wanted to know what these tasted like skunk, so that I could identify it as a part of my sensory training. And so that's not how I bought it at the store, and that's not
– No, we're not intentionally trying to knock the beer. It's all – No,
and that was not their intended flavors or anything. But that is what I did to it in order to – and I had to – and this one actually survived the longest. The other ones, within 5 or 10 minutes, they had a pronounced skunk flavor. Sure. And that was in direct sunlight out here on my patio. This one took probably 30 or 40 minutes, which is – a fairly long time, and given the fact that it has a lot of caramel flavors in it, that was
and when chilled, I mean, we're talking about obviously this English, but with saisons and with sours, that a little bit of funkiness and underlying unique note, or you know, a gingery, citrusy, pineapple-y, caramel, all these notes, when at the right temperature, are very pleasant, very exciting, and you get depth and complexity. Pretty much any beer, when it's beyond its threshold of temperature and quality, is just going to be bad. Even, you know, those notes, as we've talked in the past, beer is a living, most of the time, unless it's over pasteurized or it's, you know, just really super shelf stable, it's a living beverage. It's a living thing. And when you talk about the organic compounds that are in that beer, they will turn. Eventually they break down, you know, the proteins in the beer will break down, and it lets off horrible aromas after, you know, over time. That's why dive bars and fraternity houses, and I was in one, and party zones or parks that have had big concerts, eventually they smell kind of sour and musty because those organic compounds have just deteriorated to the point of, you know, poor aroma.
Yeah. So just some specs on this, you know, and I'm reading through what I have here in front of me from BJCP. And talking about these light malt aromas, it's certainly less than what the American one was that we just
had. Surprise, surprise.
Right. One of the things that I hadn't really thought about, but that different aspect that you're talking about, and I'm wondering if it isn't the hops that are being used, because if they're using like a Northern Brewer hop, something that's a little more – that's more English-centered – it can have kind of a sawdusty think of like the Anchor Steam, so how that had a different hop flavor,
yeah, it's
and so
kind of like
so,
being in a carpenter's workshop.
So underneath all of that sweetness, the caramel sweetness aromas, you've got that kind of sharp hop.
Yeah,
aroma.
You might be right.
So I'm wondering if that isn't it.
You redeemed yourself as a Cicerone.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. you should not be tasting, you know, like just very, very low diacetyl, which is kind of a butterscotch flavor. But it's often, if you, that perceived butterscotch is a lot of times confused with caramel.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, one of the things we have to do as part of pints and pairings is to put it with a pairing. My wife made chocolate chip cookies last night, and we thought this is going to be a cool pairing. I like it. I don't love it. And the first thing I thought was, instead of chocolate chip in the middle, chocolate chips, we should have butterscotch chips. Mm. And it's something in the beer that made me think, this is good, but not quite right. The dark chocolate or the semi-sweet morsel is almost a little too sugary and a little too cocoa. Mm-hmm. What other chip can we introduce that would make it better?
Right. And maybe even just a tad bit more vanilla might round or be a little better pairing too. But I think you're with the butterscotch, definitely. Light and medium body on this beer, definitely. It's nowhere near the body what we had. But that's, again, from the oatmeal that was in the other one. This one doesn't have that oatmeal. This is also a lot brighter, you know. And so that leads to the grains that were used in it. So minus this mouthfeel of oatmeal or that the oats give you, this doesn't have it, and so everything is just a lot lighter on the tongue, light body, brighter in the fact that it just kind of pops up off of your tongue as well.
And I'm really grasping onto this hops perspective that you brought up. It's got my mind reeling as far as combinations, and I could see us going something more down the floral range when we talk about food, something that's going to bring out some of that brightness, not focus on the sweetness as much, and draw out some more sweetness from this beer. There's two ways I want to go. One is in a lavender aspect. I've had some lavender cookies that would be great. But the other day I made a pork butt steak, and my sister-in-law bought me this beautiful, very well-balanced lavender salt, lavender-infused salt. And when I first saw the jar, I was excited because it's something new and creative.
Mm-hmm.
But I was worried the lavender was going to be too soapy. It's going to overpower the salt. And it doesn't. It works great. I did a little pepper, a little olive oil, and this lavender salt on the pork butt. And it gave it a nice, light lavender aroma and an underlying floral essence on the pork that played well with the fat and the richness, and the meat really absorbed the flavor great. I like to go some direction with that here, or sticking with the floral but maybe not lavender, you know, some great summer salads where we can actually put edible flowers in. They're going to give us some of that pasture and that field aspect and draw out the sweetness of the beer to play off of the flowers and the mixed greens and a very light vinaigrette.
Candied pecans.
Just like Mama used to make.
Right. Sprinkled on top of that fresh salad, just because what's a salad unless you put something in it that's like these wonderful fresh vegetables, and then I've got candied pecans with a little cayenne thrown into it.
A little cayenne. Actually, that's a brilliant idea, Curtis. And obviously, living with a vegetarian, you're going to think, how can I make this herbaceous blasé salad more exciting for me? And I can totally appreciate that. More power to you. I live in the same world a lot of the times. Late at night, I'm like, oh, I'm so hungry. My wife goes, let's have a chicken salad. I'm like, you mean like with grapes and mayo? And she's like, no, like a salad with chicken on top of it. I'm like, oh, that's, you know, it works. It doesn't trick. It's nutritious. But I want something hearty. The pecans are going to work great for that. If you do a mixed green salad with something spicy too, like some spicy arugula or peppery, it's going to change the profile of this beer dramatically. Going down the pecans, you know, realm, I think you're on track with something there too that's going to play with the herbaceousness. The cayenne is going to be a spiciness, maybe a spicy peppery arugula. It's going to contrast really awesome with this beer. You have a lot of options. You know, what's really great too is we did not go down, although I'm about to, we didn't go down the traditional route. A lot of times we endorse the obvious, the original common pairing of like fish and chips or a nice meat pie or something. We haven't gone that route yet, and I think that's lending not only to thankfully our own creativity in going through all these styles, but also the amount of cuisine and options that are out there nowadays. Play with the beer, experiment with it. You don't know what you're going to be able to taste. I'd also like to put this beer, again shifting back towards the obvious where we could have been in the beginning, to some nice subtle yellow curry. Just a basic chicken yellow curry, maybe over some rice, to really resonate with what's in the glass.
Yeah, that I would never have thought about a curry with this. And even with the amount of malt that's in this, if it's a spicier curry too, the malt on this will help bring the spice back a little bit. I was just going to say, just to bring back a pairing from the American brown ale, which was the Winnemere cheese. Now, the caveat on the last one was that they both had this resonating mouthfeel. They really coated the mouth. These ones have similar flavor profiles, but this one is so much brighter that it's going to really wash that cheese away.
No, I agree. There's a crispness here that's going to prevent that cheese from coating your palate too much and allowing it to be
triple
almost,
cream.
Almost soft and buttery on your palate.
Right.
You get the flavor, but not the coating.
You get that. So, you know, just looking at some of the flavor profiles that we've talked about, there's a nutty kind of toasty flavor in here. So anything that's nutty and toasty, look at those as something, whether it's even just a piece of dry toast, you know, if this is what you're going to have for breakfast in the morning.
Toast and jam. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
And who doesn't like Newcastle with toast and jam at 8 a.m.?
Well, I have not had it.
Let's not say that I have then.
Okay. I won't say that. Caramel flavors we talked about, because that would be a resonating flavor that's found in the beer. Butterscotch, which is a real similar flavor to the caramel. You could play around with that if it's in a dessert, whatever it is. So there's so many things that when you get to a darker, nuttier, caramel kind of beer, so many different pairings that you can go, whether it's dessert and did we hit a dessert? I'm losing it between this show and the last one.
I don't think we really highlighted explicitly besides the cookie a dessert, but I don't know that we need to. We've given so many options at this point.
Right. And you can
a lot of flexibility.
And that just leading into what I was talking about, that we've had a lot of different options between the English brown and the American brown. They have that same base layer. The American beers are just more aggressive in their flavors is all. And this is certainly a beer that at 4.7% you can enjoy. You can find it on a tap almost anywhere. And this is a nice beer to a gateway beer, if you will, to kind of leading you away from pale and what I would call flavorless. Well, they're not flavorless. There's plenty of flavor in
there. Depends on the circumstances, but I would definitely agree with you as far as it being a gateway beer, almost what my friends and I call a transitional beer.
Sure. So. Yeah, and being in realizing that a darker beer doesn't mean that it's bitter or heavy, because this one is either of those.
And just for my own quick plug, if you don't mind, color-wise, if you notice earlier, I was kind of holding it up to my shirt, holding the bottle up. It's got a great amber color, almost an orange color. I'm wearing my orange shirt today for No Kid Hungry, their Go Orange campaign in response to Action Hunger Month this month. As you know, with everybody's hungry, I'm always trying to raise the awareness and spread the word about the hungry in our communities and those organizations trying to battle the issue of hunger. So it's a good choice right here. Newcastle's amber color and orange hue ties in my shirt and with the No Kid Hungry, Go Orange campaign.
And is this a whole month of September thing?
It is a whole month of September thing, Action Hunger Month.
And so statewide, nationwide?
Nationwide. So if you follow Feeding America or No Kid Hungry, locally here we've got the Ventura, the Food Bank, Food Share of Ventura County, their food, regional food bank for us. We've got the Food Bank of Santa Barbara. There's a lot of them out there. They're all going to be participating. If they're a part of Feeding America and they follow with No Kid Hungry, then they're going to be involved with this Action Hunger Month. So very appreciate good. The quick little platform.
No problem. And make sure that you go to everybodyshungry.org and learn how you can get involved with all kinds of food awareness in your neighborhood. And if, especially here in Ventura County for Jason, but you know, he's just given you some important links nationwide to make sure that you can go and, if you're worried about it, conscious about it, and now you are because you've just heard us talk about it, then, you know, go in and make your donation or help out any way you can.
And it's a reason I get involved with these kind of programs is to show my thanks and appreciation for what you and I are doing here today and some of the other activities and events I'm able to put together. Not everyone has access to the food and the great beverage and drinks that we have and are as privileged as we are every day, so not only am I getting involved in the community, but if I can give a shout-out to show my appreciation for what I have in hopes that other people will help other individuals get to that point as well, then it's a much better day.
Very good. Before we get going, I want to make sure that to remind you to go to hopheadshead.com, click the Pints and Pairings logo. We'll have some extra information up for this episode. If you're listening to it on podcast, then go right over there and take a look for the English Brown Ale blog post, and you'll find some the video for this. You'll also find some food pairing suggestions. Also, everybodyshungry.org for Jason to learn about hunger issues all over the place and what he's up to. And then, of course, if you want to leave any kind of comment, suggestion, we'd love to hear from you. So you can give that to me at curtis@hopheadshead.com or
jason@everybodyshungry.org.
Great. So as always, as when we sign off, one of us leads off, and whoever knows whichever one's going.
It depends on the glint in the eye, but I'll say that I'm Jason Hendrick, a.k.a. The Hungry Man from Everybody's Hungry.
And I'm Curtis Taylor, also known as Hophead Set.
And we want to remind you to
eat, drink, and be hoppy.
Cheers.
Cheers.